The Guardian.
Good evening from the Health Education Campus of Case Western Reserve University and the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Chris Wallace of Fox News, and I welcome you to the first of the 2020 presidential debates between President Donald J. Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden.
Welcome to Politics Weekly Extra. I'm Jonathan Friedland. It is very early in the morning on Wednesday, the 30th of September, and I'm talking to you with my jaw somewhere close to the floor, having watched the first presidential election debate of 2020. For 90 minutes in Cleveland, Ohio, the Democratic nominee Joe Biden and the Republican incumbent Donald Trump faced off against each other in what one TV anchor called a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck. The debate was meant to be split into six 15-minute segments covering the Supreme Court, coronavirus, the economy, race and violence, and the integrity of the election, but it didn't really play out like that. With me to talk through it all is my very brilliant colleague across the Atlantic, my fellow Guardian columnist, Richard Wolfe. Richard, what have we just seen?
We are supposed to be discussing a presidential debate, but of course, this was neither presidential nor a debate. They are supposed to abide by certain rules, certain etiquette. And of course, those assumptions are completely irrelevant when you're talking about Donald Trump.
I'm not here to call out his lies. Everybody knows he's a liar.
But you,
I just want to make sure.
Joe, you're the liar.
I want to make sure.
I'm glad you ordered last in your class, not first in your class.
I want to make sure.
Mr. President, can you let him finish, sir?
No, he doesn't know how to do that. He has, you know.
You know, at its best, a debate can maybe tip a few of the very few undecided voters left one way or another. But this debate was really a barroom brawl. And I suppose, you know, you have to ask yourself, does the guy swinging hard in the brawl actually win anyone in the rest of the bar, even if he lands his punches? For Donald Trump, this wasn't about engaging with Biden, proving to undecided voters that he should be entrusted with another 4 years, or even seeming presidential for that matter. It was just one swing after another, and I think nobody was really satisfied except for Donald J. Trump.
So we should describe it a little bit for people who haven't seen it, waking up now and hearing this. I mean, as you say, Donald Trump went a bit outside the rules straight away. He just interrupted at every moment, even in those little segments where each candidate is meant to have 2 minutes uninterrupted just to set out their case. He was talking, there were noises off all the way through, interrupting, challenging, teasing, mocking.
Vote and let your senators know how strongly you feel. Vote now.
Are you going to pack the
court? Make sure you, in fact, let people know.
He doesn't want to answer the question.
I'm not going to answer the question.
Whatever Joe Biden was saying. And Biden, in response, was often left sort of just silent or kind of dumbfounded by this. He wasn't giving back. He wasn't punching back. Instead, he was just sometimes shaking his head as if to say, can you believe this guy?
Will you shut up, man?
Listen,
who is on your list, Joe?
This
Who's
is
on your
so
list?
Right.
Gentlemen,
this is,
I think
this
we've
is
ended
so
this.
Unprecedented.
My concern, if I was in the Biden camp there, would be that what we saw was Trump looking relatively, two old guys up there, but relatively sort of fitter, more vigorous, more vim, in the sense that he was throwing those punches, and that Joe Biden did look a bit sort of battered and bruised and often at moments as if he really couldn't respond. Is that what will that be the impression the viewers get? And is that what you'd be worried about too if you were in Team Biden?
No, I'd actually be worried that this was a turnoff. I'd be worried that people think that politicians are just like this. They all scream and shout, and this is normal. Actually, that has been the biggest danger of the Trump presidency all the way through, that norms get redefined into the lowest possible state of human interaction. And, you know, there was a classic moment when the moderator, who for the most part was completely bulldozed, that's Chris Wallace from Fox News, when the moderator said,
but are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups,
sure,
and to say that they need to stand down and not.
And Donald Trump said yes. And so he's like, "What would you say?" And he said,
"So what are you saying?
I'm willing to do anything. I want to see peace.
Then do it, sir.
Say it. Do you want to call him? What do you want to call him? Give me a name.
White supremacist and
white supremacist.
White supremacist and right
proud boys. Stand back and stand by. But I'll tell you.
Stand by. And you know what? Of all the chatter that is going on right now, there's really very little about that. This president cannot even condemn white supremacists. You know, a normal debate, Johnny, we would be having this discussion about. Yeah, he landed a punch there and the other guy didn't get back. And what does it say about their relative merits? I think a lot of undecided voters, regular voters, just regular Americans actually do like to play by the rules. And they look at this and they think not just that Trump is breaking the rules, but that they're all breaking the rules. This is just what politicians do. And in the end, the danger for Biden was that when he did engage, he was also heckling. But of course, on the heckling ratio, Donald Trump is 90% of the heckling and Biden is 10%. So it's not a fair fight. It's not fair rules. And Donald Trump doesn't care about fair.
That's right. I think that's right. Going through my mind, I was quite conflicted watching it. And I realized, thinking on it now, I had the sort of gender gap playing out in my head all the way through the debate. And on the one hand, I think there is a kind of male voter who will have liked seeing Donald Trump in that kind of pugilistic, vigorous way and will have worried or felt distant from a Joe Biden who didn't seem to be able to punch back. On the other hand, I was thinking there will be women voters watching this who will be massively turned off, as you say, the whole thing, but particularly, I think, turned off by what will have looked to them like an bullying, abusive man. Nicole Wallace, who worked for John McCain back in 2008, formerly a Republican, now a host on MSNBC, was describing this as abuse and that Donald Trump was the abuser for 90 minutes there. So I think the gender divide, which we know in polling is pretty massive, that would have really opened up in how people react to this. There'll be people watching this as if it was two different debates.
Yes. So I completely understand the analysis and to some degree, agree with it. I do think that Donald Trump is speaking to what's left of his base. His base now is not what it was 4 years ago. So, you know, the core, what he's left with are overwhelmingly male. They are overwhelmingly non-college educated and they're overwhelmingly white. So, you know, if that group was enough to get Trump across the finishing line, then he would be doing better than he is today, where in three states that really matter, the three states that he squeaked out victory that got him through the Electoral College, that is Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, those three states, he should be doing really well if his strategy made any sense, i.e. pull in those white, non-college educated voters who would love to see a guy brawling in a bar and who lands more punches. In fact, he's down 8, 9, 10 points just in polls of likely voters in those three states in the last couple of days. And what has changed in those last 4 years? Women voters, predominantly Republican women voters, suburban Republican women voters. I cannot imagine that Republican women looking at that spectacle will go and say, yes, Donald Trump is exactly who I want to lead this country. That man speaks to me. The more he heckles, the more he insults. I think Joe Biden, to be honest, you know, he did not fulfill the Democratic fantasy, which is to land a punch back. There are so many Democrats who just want someone to stand up to Trump and punch him back on the nose. I don't think he needed to, actually. It would have been satisfying. But I don't think he needed to because he's 9, 10 points up in these crucial states. And those women suburban voters are already with him. It was actually Trump who needed to do something different tonight. And of course, because the man doesn't prep and he doesn't care and he is who he is, that he'll always be Trump.
Yeah, I think I had the sense actually that he'd prepped a bit and he got certain attack lines. He was obviously very hot on the Hunter Biden question. In fact, why don't we pick out this one moment? Because it said a lot about the two personalities. It came late. I think a lot of people thought it might have been something that Joe Biden would have done earlier. And that is, there was a story in The Atlantic a couple of weeks back that Donald Trump had referred to people, service men and women who had died in wars, as suckers and losers. Nobody cited in the story has ever denied it.
My son was in Iraq. He spent a year there. He got the Bronze Star. He got the Conspicuous Service Medal. He was not a loser. He was a patriot, and the people left behind were heroes.
Really?
And I resent.
Are you talking
like
about Hunter?
Hell.
Are you talking about
I'm
Hunter?
I'm talking about my son, Bo Biden. You're talking
about.
I don't know Bo.
I know Hunter.
Yeah,
Hunter,
you know,
got
Bo.
Thrown. Hunter got thrown out of the military.
Straight away there, it's a pretty amazing human moment. Joe Biden has talked about this grief he has for Bo Biden, and Donald Trump just steamrollers right over that and moves to Joe Biden's other son, Hunter Biden, to attack him over, you know, alleged corrupt links in Ukraine and so on. That, for me, felt, and he went back to Hunter Biden often, it felt to me as if there were attack lines that Donald Trump had prepared and was really determined to hit, as if he thought that would help him in this debate.
You're absolutely right. He had one strategy, as he has for the last 4 years, and it's more of a tactic than a strategy, which is just attack, bully, dominate, and hope that that's enough. It wasn't just that question, right? Trump could not vocalize any empathy or humanity about the pandemic, about 200,000 dead Americans. I suppose, you know, this premise for this debate, but also this whole election, is going to test what the president, I know you're very familiar with, Bill Clinton, used to say, which is that strong and wrong beats weak and right. Does the quote-unquote strength that Trump displayed today in being so aggressive, so hostile, showing no ounce of humanity, even if he's wrong, does that actually beat someone who is right on the facts about the pandemic, about how to be a president? So it's an important moment. It's a test of character. If you didn't know what Donald Trump's character was, I guess you just found out.
I wondered about something else on the other side, which is that whether this hurts Biden rather than helping Trump. And that could be that there are some people who are, you know, they're fully aware of Donald Trump's flaws. They don't like him. But this debate maybe opens up worries about whether Joe Biden has the sort of focus, the vigor, the sharpness to be president, even if you don't like Trump. And that's what I was wondering, if there's a negative impact. I was very struck by, for example, the fact that there were certain moments where he did have those crucial lines, you know, that Donald Trump only paid $750 in tax, but somehow didn't land it. You know, this is the guy who told you to inject bleach. These were moments that we did hear, but I wonder if he didn't absolutely pound them home.
He didn't, because he was tripped up by the heckling. It's true. I do think you're right to focus on, you know, if this doesn't change the game for Trump, does it marginally maybe change the game for Biden? I think there is a risk in Biden getting forced to really make explicit his centrist positions on, you know, he's not actually a Black Lives Matter supporter in the sense of going along with the rhetoric about defunding police or even really reforming police budgets in any radical measure. You know, he said he didn't support the Green New Deal.
That is not my plan.
That's Green New Deal is not my plan.
You want to rebuild every building.
If he knew anything about
it. Gentlemen?
Even though his climate plan is actually exceptionally ambitious and obviously a radical departure from anything we've seen in previous presidencies, including President Obama's. So and quite clearly, that was part of the goal for Donald Trump, a completely cynical approach of saying, you lost the left. I worry much more, if I was in the Biden camp, I'd worry much more about this just being a general turnoff, part of a suppression tactic, essentially, to say, what's the point? Politics isn't for me.
Yeah, I think that is a worry. What about that point about, which absolutely rightly you say was looked like a deliberate tactic of Donald Trump to drive a wedge between Joe Biden and the left wing of the Democratic Party. That moment, and it came very late, really in the closing minutes of the debate, where Joe Biden says, I'm not for the Green New Deal. Is that going to hurt him with the sort of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wing of the Democratic Party? Will that now become a thing on Twitter, social media? You can't vote for Biden. He's not our guy.
I am sure the bot factories in St. Petersburg are already pressing send on a billion memes to just quote that. You know, that this is at this point, sadly, a tried and true method of disinformation. The conundrum with Trump is that for every voter he suppresses, he drives another out. For every one of his own supporters that he drives out by refusing to condemn white supremacists, he's actually driving out a Black Lives Matter voter. So, you know, there's no coherence to his approach. It is just a random spraying of something that I probably can't say on this podcast.
I think you might be able to, actually, given that it's a podcast. But but we guessed it. I mean, it seemed as if Joe Biden, whenever he could, and he wasn't being interrupted, and that was hardly ever, wanted to make this move. And it happened at one point when they were talking about their families. Again, Donald Trump was going on the Suns, on Hunter Biden. People might think that is the height of chutzpah. Unbelievable cheek for him to go after the Suns, saying that he only got a job when you gave him one. Joe Biden could have turned around and said, well, you know, Eric and Donald Jr. have never had a job other than the jobs you've given them. He could have said that. He didn't do that. Instead, he did this pivot, and he made this move several times when he could, which is to say, look, this isn't about my family or your family. This is about the families out there.
It's about your family, the American people. He doesn't, that's not true. It doesn't want to talk about what you need, you, the American people. It's about you.
Addressed the American people and did that old-time politician move, saying this shouldn't be about me, this should be about you, the voter. Do you think that was effective? Did that manage to get through the noise?
I don't think it was effective. I don't think anyone heard anything but noise. Here's the poorly kept secret. Joe Biden's a terrible debater. He always has been. All of his other presidential races, he's been left standing there. Having said that, Barack Obama was a pretty poor debater too. And so you're left here with someone who was too easily thrown off course by a giant bully that no one has been able to stop heckling, right? The moderator couldn't do it. The Republican candidates couldn't do it when they were running against him 4 years ago. The press can barely do it. Biden didn't have a great response because he's not that good at playing that game, you know, talking down the camera to the American people. I think if you have one camera angle and you have three channels, maybe it works. But as you say, people are going to see this on the clips. Even when he was talking in the camera, it was a split screen. They do that much more than they used to because it's better TV. So no, I don't think it is very effective. I think this was just noisy and messy, and Biden could not get the oxygen to make his own case. You know, he was still listening to the heckler while the heckling was going on. And I suppose stand-up comedians would tell you that's not a good idea.
One moment that was just shocking on a human level came when Joe Biden used the word smart, and we can hear how Donald Trump responded.
And a lot more are going to die unless he gets a lot smarter, a lot quicker.
So, Mr. President?
Did you use the word smart? So you said you went to Delaware State, but you forgot the name of your college. You didn't go to Delaware State. You graduated either the lowest or almost the lowest in your class. Don't ever use the word smart with me. Don't ever use that word.
Oh, give me a break.
Because you know what? There's nothing smart about you, Joe. 47 years...
People watching this were hopping mad, wishing that Biden had had the presence of mind to say, look, your own sister, Donald Trump, your own sister has said that you got somebody else to take your entrance exams for Wharton University for you. You know, who are you to start talking about who's smart and who's not? It did have a sort of something of the playground about it. You know, you're dumb. No, you are. No, you are. But it did feel a kind of wounding moment. And I found myself thinking there may be a lot of people out there who, you know, will identify with Joe Biden and will not like being condescended wanted to because they didn't go to the best university or an Ivy League college. What do you think about that moment, Richard?
I thought it was a remarkable moment. I did think it stood out, but maybe for different reasons. I thought Donald Trump looked remarkably thin-skinned and unsure of himself. That flash of anger was unlike the performative shouting and, you know, bullying that was so typical of most of the performance. That really stung. And you know, he's a little delicate snowflake inside this ball of fire. A very vulnerable moment is what it felt like to me. I have no idea how it plays out. Look, again, non-college educated white men are all in for Trump. So if they feel, you know, disrespected by this, then, you know, they feel disrespected by the world and they think Trump speaks for them anyway. But what it says about Trump as a way into rattling him, it threw him off his game. And there were precious few of those moments when the heckler had that moment when the stand-up comic turns it back and everyone laughs at the heckler. That's what that moment felt like. And I think he reacted with anger because of that. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see if Joe Biden has the wits about him that he can do that again next time, or he just stumbled into it.
I mean, we should perhaps say something in the more positive column for Joe Biden. A lot of people assumed, partly for the reason you said, which is that he's historically been a poor debater. He's not, you know, a champion debater by any means. People wondered if there would be just some terrible gaffe where he said something that was played again and again and again that was mortifying. And actually, in 90 minutes, debate the politics of saying I'm not for the Green New Deal, but there was no moment where he got so tongue-tied that he ended up, you know, humiliating himself, was there?
No, there wasn't. I mean, that's partly because he could barely get a sentence out. But so in that sense, Trump did him some favors. You should also know that in the run-up to this debate, both Trump in his Twitter feed, but also all of his surrogates, people like Rudy Giuliani, have been going out for the last several days saying that Joe Biden suffers from dementia and that he's on performance-enhancing drugs. I'm not making this stuff up. You can check it out, sadly. And so they've actually been lowering the bar for Joe Biden. So this sort of middling performance for Biden doesn't track with either. Of course, they don't care. They're just, again, spraying things around and seeing what sticks. But it didn't fit the script for Biden to come off the way he did, which is as someone who was just getting railroaded. I mean, couldn't finish a sentence. You know, it was reasonably effective when he was sort of chuckling at the guy who was trying to pick a fight with him. But beyond that, 90 minutes of chuckling at the guy didn't really do it. And that's when, you know, I suspect those lines will be clipped in social media. The lines when he says, you know, will you shut up? And, you know, this is so unpresidential. I think those are the things that will cut through for Biden. But again, noisy, messy. It's exactly what Donald Trump wants.
Yeah, no, it was a very strange hour and a half. Somebody said that debating with Donald Trump is like drinking water with a fork. You know, it is just sort of impossible, but it was something for us to really marvel at with eyes wide open and jaw dropped to the floor. But Richard Wolfe, thanks so much for joining me. And there will be a link to Richard's column on the debate on this week's episode description on the Guardian website. Now, today in Focus, we'll be looking at the older white and also the Latino vote in Florida with Oliver Lachlan. To look out for that on Friday, wherever you get your podcast. And make sure to listen in to Politics Weekly on Thursday as The Guardian's deputy political editor, Jessica Elgott, breaks down the latest from Westminster. For myself, I'm off to get some sleep. Our producer is Danielle Stevens. I'm Jonathan Friedland. Thanks for listening.
For more great podcasts from The Guardian, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.